Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Cheryl Blomstrom, former president of the Nevada Taxpayers Association, and Trey Abney, director of government relations for the chamber, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show today with Trey Abney in his last week as Director of Government Relations for the Chamber, starting a new company. Congratulations on that, Trey.
Thanks, sir.
And Cheryl Blomstrom, former president of the Nevada Taxpayers Association. Pleasure to have you back on the program, too, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's start out with the Republican tax cut. Obviously, this is a great question for you, Cheryl. What is your opinion of the two versions you've seen so far, or at least what's been released?
I am of about six minds. I think kind of everyone else is as well. I really like the approach to the business tax cuts. I think that will drive economic growth, and economic growth benefits everybody. In looking through, and I pay particular attention to what the Tax Foundation has put together in their analyses, and they are of the opinion that the middle class, which is really the folks that we're trying to help, will see benefits from both of the tax plans, and I'm excited to see how they marry them. How they gather the votes, obviously, to pass them, and then how they marry them in conference.
Trey?
Well, I agree with Cheryl. This is very important for the business community, for job creators. You know, whether we have seven brackets or four or whatever it is, I mean, they're going to figure that out. It's good for small businesses because of the pass-through stuff and the S-Corp stuff. What's politically frustrating is, one, to get this through the Senate, they can't raise the deficit by X amount, right? So that's why you're seeing them take away some of these politically popular exemptions on the individual front. And so politically, they've got a problem saying, okay, we're going to make all these corporate tax cuts, yet we're going to take away some of these individual exemptions. So that's a political problem. And, you know, secondly, when we talk about tax cuts and we talk about, well, you know, all this, you know, these cuts are going to the rich. Well, because the rich pay most of the income taxes. And so whenever you have any kind of tax cut, a lot of it's going to come from that spectrum because they're the ones paying it. So that's the political problem they have here, is because our tax code is so screwed up over decades and decades, where most people don't even pay federal income tax anymore. When you do a cut, it looks like it's a sop to the rich. And that's
all right.
The PR
all right.
Problem.
So rather than go directly at Trey, why don't I direct this at Cheryl and go, isn't the truth that the middle class pays the majority of taxes in this country?
No, it's not.
Really?
No, it really isn't. If you look at the IRS data, the top 1% pay somewhere north of 35% of the income. That's 1%. And then if you take it down to the top 20%, it's almost 100% of the taxes.
Right.
All right. But
I would have looked this up if I had known we were going to have this exact conversation. I would have looked up the exact numbers.
No, she's
no,
close.
It's not the middle class. We'd like to think that it is. It really isn't.
All right. But I mean, if, for example, and it's kind of an interesting juxtaposition, and I'll use Governor Kenny Gwynne's $300 rebate as an example, that, you know, the average taxpayer would, you know, they will get double the minimum deduction from $1,200 to $2,400. But the average middle class taxpayer will get about $1,000 back, correct, from the numbers you're seeing?
It's about that, in that range, yeah.
Okay, so to me, that doesn't sound like a large amount, but to use the Kenny Gwynn example, he always said that that $300 refund, he had more people come up to him and thank him for that and what a difference it made to them than anything. So perhaps a $1,000 refund is a huge amount.
Well, if you're not paying the large bulk of the taxes, $1,000 back, or $1,000 unpaid, more to the point, gives you $1,000 to do kids' sports or music lessons or, you know, some of the niceties that we'd like our kids to have.
Trey?
Well, absolutely. And, I mean, $1,000 certainly would mean a lot to my family. It may not mean a lot to some.
Same.
But certainly would mean a lot to mine. And I think what's frustrating here is when we talk about the cost of tax cuts, and really we need to talk about the cost of government spending, because, you know, we're going to cut, you know, they're going to have a tax package and they're going to have some tax cuts, but they're still going to spend more money than they did last year and the year before that and the year before that. So that's what's frustrating, is we never talk about the other side of the equation, which is spending.
And how do you do that when you're looking at increasing the national debt by $1.5 trillion with these tax cuts, Cheryl?
Well, one of them is in the $700 million range, and one of them is the $1 billion, excuse me. And the Senate version is they have to keep it under $1.5 trillion in order to use the voting patterns that they need, that they have currently. You know, it's a political equation. But I agree with Trey that we have to have a grown-up conversation about how we're spending in this country. There are things that we spend money on that do not make sense. And this is the problem, part of what we're having the problem with in terms of tax reform. For every one of those things that I think is goofy, there is a special interest group or another group of taxpayers who thinks that's just the coolest thing on 10 toes. So we have this dichotomy of people receiving and people paying. One of the things that frustrates me as an individual is the high state tax, those high tax states, California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, they are all up in arms about their property tax and local taxes no longer being deductible, possibly. What they do with that deductibility is they socialize the costs of the taxes in those states. I pay for the high taxes in California because those are deductible.
That's
so maybe
right.
California and New Jersey and New York and Illinois and the states that tax their people like that should take another look at their own internal tax systems, and maybe they help their own taxpayers by lowering them or reducing them or cutting their own spending rather than socializing those costs.
Cheryl's absolutely right. Those people in those high-tax states are paying less to the federal government. We're subsidizing them. They get the same amount of services that Cheryl and I and you, Sam, get from the federal government, yet we're having to cover those costs because of their deductibility from their state's taxes.
But we also have that ability to deduct those state and local taxes, correct, Cheryl?
We do. We are allowed to deduct sales tax.
Okay, so
and our sales tax is above the top, you know, we're in the top 50% of sales tax states, so we are allowed to deduct that. I'm not sure that it equates to the same amounts. In fact, I'm certain that it does not equate to the same amounts that folks in the larger tax states are deducting.
Okay, so let's look at the other side of this, which is, you know, increasing the national debt by, you know, up to $1.5 trillion or just below that. Are we ever going to see a time when that's going to go down, or do we have to go back to the Clinton administration to see a time when that was even possible? Cheryl?
All right. Let's talk Clinton. Clinton was the beneficiary of tax policies of the Reagan administration that really been, I mean, they drove the economic growth that happened during that administration. And so to say that Bill Clinton took actions that really made huge differences, I don't think is accurate.
Okay, and let me be fair.
But he took advantage of it, for sure.
Okay,
for
and, sure. And let me make the point that, you know, all actions by presidents may not see the results for one or even two presidency cycles after that. So I completely agree with you on.
Well, and Sam, if you want a fiscally responsible Republican Congress, put a Democrat in there as president, okay? Because we saw what happened when you had George W. Bush as president and a Republican House and a Republican Senate. They spent like drunken sailors. And let's be clear, the 1.5 deficit that we're talking about, or, you know, increase to the national debt that we're talking about, is because we're spending money, not because we're letting people keep more of their own.
You agree with that, Cheryl?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Okay, so what is...
We are. I like the spending like drunken sailors analogy, because that is what happened. It was different priorities. You know, if you have a completely democratically controlled government versus a completely Republican controlled government, at least in our near past, we all spent like fools, but we just spent on different things.
Exactly.
We had different priorities.
Exactly.
Well, now let me ask you this. If these tax cuts go through, you have companies like Apple, for example, that have tens of millions of dollars stashed away and could be using that, you know, for economic growth in this country. They're not using it now. What is to say that they wouldn't take the benefits from what they're going to see and use that to either pay dividends to shareholders or buy back stock?
There's nothing to say that, except if you make the tax code less complicated, it may incent them to do things here in this country instead of, as you say, stash it away. Right now, the tax code incentivizes people to stash things away.
And that was one of the purposes, certainly one of President Trump's goals, is to reward companies for keeping money and investment and jobs here and not incentivize as much, right, those companies that do it overseas.
All right, let's take a break. More with our great pundits today. We have Cheryl Blomstrom and Trey Abney, and we'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show with Cheryl Blomstrom, former president of the Nevada Taxpayers Association, and Trey Abney, still currently director of government relations for the chamber before he starts his new gig next week. Lance Goodman was on the program last week, and he was talking about going back to D.C., to the White House, and meeting with all these various department heads. And one of the biggest things that he was excited about in his role as Story County Commissioner was that they are cutting regulations, not at a rate of 2-1, two regulations go away for every one that is put forward, but at a rate of 16-1, getting rid of regulations. Your thoughts on that, Cheryl?
As a former small business owner, I'm really happy to hear that, because so many of the things that get in the way of businesses expanding are because of the cost of doing business, and there's a cost to every one of those regulations that is put in place. In our state, we have a rule about contemplating the cost to small business. I'm not convinced that process couldn't be improved, but they don't do the same thing at the federal government level, and so particularly for small businesses, the cost of meeting all the various rules and regulations and this and that creates disincentive for growing a business, disincentive for maintaining a business, and reduces the amount that businesses can reinvest in their business, reinvest in their employees, and grow their workforce.
Well, Cheryl's absolutely right, Sam. I mean, for every dollar that a small business has to spend on compliance is one less dollar they have to spend on employee salaries, employee benefits, reinvesting in their business, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, obviously these large corporations, you know, you mentioned Apple, the Apples of the world, have huge HR and legal compliance departments that can take care of all these things. But a small business owner may just be one or two people working in the back office trying to figure out how to comply with all these things. You know, Story County is interesting. They've got a great story to tell, But remember, they're able to move very quickly because they don't have a lot of people that actually live in the county. A lot of it's the industrial park, and so they're fortunate that they don't have to provide. I don't know if fortunate's the right word, but they don't have to provide for all the residential streets and the parks and all the police and fire and all the services that go along with people actually residing in the county. And so they're kind of an interesting, unique perspective and a unique situation out there.
Although Lance was talking about that they have a big housing development going in near the Apple development. And I mentioned Apple with millions. Of course, it's billions of dollars that they have. Let me ask you also, you know, on a regulation basis, environmentalists are up in arms because it looks like all the sage-grouse regulations are going to be changed or set in a way that is not going to destroy ranching, farming, mining, et cetera. You want to take a shot at that, Trey?
Well, I mean, I think we should always look at these things just like the national monument designations. I mean, those things aren't set in stone. Moses didn't come down off the mountain with him in stone tablets. So let's look at that. And if it is, I mean, I personally believe that people are more important than sage grouse. I don't want to be too controversial on your program here, but if that means, grazing helps people, mineral development and mining and resource development helps people. And so, you know, we obviously want to have a balance there environmentally, but we also, people and Nevadans should be our first priority there. And if there's a better way to both protect the sage grouse and utilize those lands for the greatest good, the greatest benefit, then we should look at that.
Cheryl?
I completely agree. Isn't it funny, Trey and I are just completely agreeing today?
I could just had one. I could have made two shows out of this.
Very diverse panel.
At the end
panel.
Of the day, yeah. We are all environmentalists to a greater or lesser degree. It's in our interests to be environmentalists. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, one of the truisms of private sector, public sector, and I think that works the same way with environmental and land use. If you can't have a healthy public sector unless you have a healthy private sector. If you look at the way mining has evolved, the way grazing has evolved, and Trey, you said that grazing is good for people. As I understand it, grazing is also good for sage grouse, that it actually reduces some of the grass and provides for the sagebrush to grow in a less impeded way. So as I understand it, grazing is also good for their habitat. But grazing is good for fire reduction. We've seen the net result of that this year in large and horrible ways. Mining and the way they reclaim and the way you look at, you know, old mines that have been reclaimed, and you're hard-pressed to say there was a mine there other than, you know historically. So if you don't have a healthy private sector, the funds that go into keeping track of environmental issues are not there to spend.
All right, let's take a break. More with our great pundits when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Cheryl Blomstrom. She's the former president of the Nevada Taxpayers Association. And Trey Abney is director of government relations for the chamber. For one more week, does your new firm have a name?
Yeah, the Abney Talcon Group. I'm partnering up with Leah Talcon, who was with the Retail Association of Nevada for like 13 years. I've been with the chamber for 10. Still going to be advocating on behalf of private sector and businesses, just in a different role.
I just asked you for the name. You gave me a whole sales. No, I'm just kidding you. Congratulations.
That's your elevator speech. Well done, Trey.
Thank you.
So now I wanted to talk about something that occurred to me the other day, and it's not something that's really been talked about at this point. But, you know, even though we're going to have a new governor next November, not this November, but next November, you know, the budget that will be put together will be one that will be put together for the most part by Governor Sandoval. Do you have any concerns about that, Cheryl?
You know, I don't have particular concerns because there is always the legematic process after the governor's proposal, and the incoming governor and his staff have a great deal to say about it once it hits the legislative process, and he or she will be in that seat by the time the legislature convenes in 2019. So I think everybody gets a say of it, and it's a consistent issue with governors as they transition, that the old governor makes a budget and the new governor either lives with it or modifies it. And I think you'll see probably some modification, but then, as I say, the legislature has its voice as well. They are the funding arm. And so I'm not particularly concerned. I like the idea of the split between the legislature and the executive, and more than one set of eyes and more than one set of priorities.
How was it with the Gibbons administration's transition?
Well, I was just going to bring that up. Having worked for Congressman Jim Gibbons, and the reason I moved out to the state was to work for Governor Jim Gibbons, and so we saw that transition, you know, coming in after Kenny Gwynn. I mean, most of the budget is baked, obviously. When you get inaugurated or you actually take office on the 1st of January, that's mostly set in stone, because in a month, you know, you're going to the legislature with it. So there are opportunities to tweak. And in that first budget year, that 2007, we actually had money then. And so that's when the new governor gets to say, okay, we've got more money coming in than we expected, and he gets to make those priorities. What's interesting, if you have a different priority, such as, you know, let's say that Attorney General Adam Laxalt successful in his effort, and he has stated that he has never been a fan of the commerce tax. And so what does he do if you've got a budget? Sandoval's going to build a budget based on commerce tax dollars. What does a Governor Laxalt do with that? Those are very difficult choices that he's going to have to make.
And how far do you think a, quote, Governor Laxalt could go with that, Cheryl?
He has pretty broad powers constitutionally, if it is indeed Governor Laxalt. Maybe more to the point, look at Governor Sisolak following Governor Sandoval. Those are completely different priorities as well. And, interesting.
And to be fair, Governor June Kiliani.
Mm-hmm. I should say that as well. Chris G's priorities are vastly different, I think, than anybody else in the race right now. And if she becomes our governor, she will have a lot to say about. And Trey, you say it's baked, and I think you're right that the skeleton is baked, but the meat that hangs on the skeleton isn't yet. And so I think she would have a lot to say about how things are prioritized. You know, as a special education teacher with a heart for education, whatever else you think of her, she has a heart for education. I think education would be one of her very first and highest priorities. Would the commerce tax go away under a Governor Chris G? No, I don't think so.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you both very much. Marlene Lockhart was supposed to be joining us today, and unfortunately she had a cold and wasn't able to be here. But we thank you both. It was a great show, and we'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
On our next broadcast, Major Elliot Chodoff, Israeli Defense Force. We'll see you on the next broadcast.